have your Bibles, if you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 37 through 40. We're actually going to look until verse 52, but we'll start here for just a moment. And as we take a look, just a couple of announcements for some of us. I don't know if some of you know, but this weekend coming up soon, there's a women's conference. How many are excited about that? Amen. So if you haven't signed up, please look at the QR code behind your seats and please sign up if you haven't signed up already. Also, coming up soon is men's barbecue, bags and barbecue, so that's coming up soon. If you didn't get an announcement, you'll get one maybe on your way out. So be looking out for that. Are people excited about the things of God here at Legacy Church? Amen. I was trying to get the excitement up because can I just share with you that this is one of those messages, and I have to confess to you that when you preach a word like we're about to listen today, the Lord deals with me first. Amen. And it's one of those things where I humbly come before you and just say, let us hear this word together. I don't preach this because I am super excellent in all these things. I'm a person like everyone else that needs the Holy Spirit's help in all things. Amen? So if we look at the book of Luke, chapter 11 through 37 through 40, let's take a look at that real quick. It says, while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went and reclined at the table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees cleanse outside of the cup and of the dish, but on the inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Wow, right? Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? And he asked that as a question. And I don't know if you're like me, but I like movies, and I watched a lot of movies in my time. And some of us may have seen Meet the Parents, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Nutty Professor. Some of us have been able to see Shrek 2. Has anybody seen all those movies, any of them? If you haven't, it's okay. But here's the thing. They have one common, similar situation in all the movies. Do you know what those are? Do you know what the common theme or common thing that happened in those movies are? The meals. There is always an awkward, tense dinner scene. And I'm just here to say that in what we have just read is an awkward, tense dinner scene that we're about to expound on, you see. Everybody in these movies, you see, is everybody looks fine on the surface until something burns inside somebody and it has to come to the surface. And then everything blows open in these movies sometimes. And to the point where there's no more pretending, there's no more polishing, there's the hidden things get exposed, and then we look at this text and we can say that even in the common themes of this movies, the same thing is happening in this text. You have to understand, when you look at a dinner scene like this, a confrontation is about to happen and it's about to get more deep as we go through it. But it's interesting that even before this dinner, there are things that were happening that they started to watch Jesus on. And just to give a brief summary of what has happened from last week in the sermon where we hear how do we pray to now where we talk about what we're going to listen about, the woes, we have to understand that there was an opportunity for Jesus to go and cast out a demon. But then obviously he was accused of operating by a demonic power. He taught about the kingdom of God and spiritual authority. He called upon people to stop looking at signs and turn to repentance. And then he started to talk about how the eye is the lamp of the body. And then you get these Pharisees that are looking at everything, hearing about everything that is happening. And then you have this dinner scene. Unique, right? Now, I know we bring up movies, but maybe you have been in a dinner kind of similar to that, or a situation similar to that, where things come out that you didn't anticipate to come out. But here in the text that we were just reading, things were starting to come out. Why? Because the Pharisees have been watching Jesus. They've been hearing about Jesus. They've been looking at Jesus. And then they've been forming their opinions. They were asking questions. They were trying to fit Jesus into what I would say their system. Now we find Jesus being invited to a dinner. Now, because it's not because they're wanting to show great hospitality, but really it's because they're getting ready to investigate Jesus, investigate the person that they've been watching and hearing about. But it's interesting when we take a look at the whole text that we are going to look at, you find that they are concerned about their personal optics, surface level rituals or performance based religion. They find themselves looking like external righteous people, and Jesus is about to expose what's going on in the nature of the heart. Can I just pray for us again real quick? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, help us to receive this word this morning. Help us, Holy Spirit, to see in the eyes that you see, and help us to love in the way that you love, and help us to see the condition of our own heart this morning. Help us to allow you to take on the things that we're struggling with. And I ask, Lord, as this message goes forth, Lord, would you ignite something in us this morning? We ask this in your name, amen. You know, it's interesting, if you look at the whole text, and I'm going to sum up the whole text with something, and it's going to talk about heart posture. And in this first thought, you can look right before people, but still have the wrong heart posture before God. Has anybody known about that? You can look right in front of people. You can do all the right things. You can say all the right things. You can act a certain way, but internally, your posture could still be wrong before God. You see, in verse 38 through 40, it starts with something small, like Jesus washing his hands before eating, or they look at this and they were upset that he didn't do it. And it's not because Jesus didn't do it because of hygiene issues. They weren't mad at Jesus because of hygiene. They were mad because he wasn't practicing the rituals that they had in place. They were shocked about that. So Jesus responds immediately and said, "You clean the outside, but on the inside, there is misplaced righteousness." They mastered the outside. They've neglected the inside. They've perfected appearance, but they've ignored the condition of their heart. And that's what Jesus is trying to get to with them. He's wanting to help them see what is happening in their heart. And what is happening is that they're so focused on presentation that they're forgetting that God is there wanting to do something in them. And I wonder, you know, sometimes I look at my own personal life and I can identify the areas that my heart posture may not be in the best position are the areas that I become very skeptical. I become very weary. I become very disconnected with maybe what the Lord is trying to do. It's interesting that the Pharisees are in the same kind of position because the condition of their heart was looking at Jesus a certain way, but it wasn't looking at Jesus in the way that he truly is, which is King of Kings. Amen? So we have to ask these questions, and I want us to dive even deeper in this. If we can look in verse 41 through 44, and I'm just going to ask permission because this is such a heavy text. Can I just read this like I feel that it happens? Yes? Can I do that? Okay, all right. So he says, "But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, for you are like the unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." Woo, Jesus is going in right now. He is going in right now. It's almost as if they looked at Jesus with a little bit of judgment and condemnation, and Jesus was not having it. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, you gonna judge me?" And what's worse, and once you think about it, it's like, you gonna judge Almighty God? My goodness. But that's what was happening in this scenario. There was something going on the inside of their heart that wasn't regulated with where God wanted it to be. So Jesus is dealing that with that right now. But it's interesting, in verse 41, he starts to talk about this purity that begins within. In verse 41, it's like he talks about religion cleanses the surface, meaning sometimes the performance that we try to pursue, the things that we try to emulate so that we can look good in front of people, it can cleanse maybe the surface, but really, it's not transforming your heart. And here's the nature of where we find ourselves in this text. He wants what's going on in their heart to be simultaneous with the Spirit of God, and it's just not there with the Pharisees. So he is calling them out because their heart posture is off, because he's looking for transformation. Why? Because he did something so great, giving us a great helper named the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. We get this help every single day if we allow him to help us to do some work on the inside. So whatever happens on the outside is not just an external thing, but an internal thing leading the external thing. Amen. But here he comes in and he says, "Woe to the Pharisees." And we have to ask ourselves, what is woe? Instead of it being like a 2000 rap song back in the day, I don't know if you know that, that's woe. Some of you know that, some of you know. but in this context, woe is a warning wrapped in grief. It is a warning. Jesus is saying, I'm looking at the posture of your heart. I'm looking at the condition of your heart right now, and I'm calling it, and I'm saying that there is danger. You're drifting towards an area of danger. And if it doesn't change soon, it can lead to destruction. This woe is much deeper than just three letters of a word that we may use. It is a big deal. It is a warning to the Pharisees. But I look at this and I have to be honest and say, whenever we look at the Pharisees, it's very easy to say, man, these guys are trash. That's a word my kids say all the time. But at the end of the day, if we take a deep dive of what happens in our heart posture, we can identify that there are things where our heart posture may start to drift. We may begin to neglect justice just like the Pharisees. We may begin to neglect mercy just like the Pharisees did. Because Jesus, when looking at this text, he wasn't concerned, he wasn't like condemning tithing, he wasn't condemning anything like that. He was calling them to something deeper than that. He was saying, you know what, you're doing the discipline that you're supposed to do, continue to do that, but do not forget about the other weightier things that are out there, because you have lost the sight of mercy and you've lost the sight of the love of God. You are losing the sight of these things, and it's causing an issue internally. Woe to that. And I think in a context like this, God is not impressed by careful religion or careful performance that neglects the love or the things that he loves, right? When our heart posture is off, we have to be honest about it, and we have to identify that it can cause us to neglect some things too. It can cause us to be consumed with trying to do things a certain way or work a certain way or do it my way instead of God's way. And here's the thing, our heart posture is going to be important because we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do some work in that. He's trying to let them know this performance thing that you're trying to do, you can't do it. You need something stronger, you need something deeper, you need something more sound, you need deeper foundation, is what he's trying to let them know. So in some capacities, we can get into a place where we can look at things in our own life and find our hearts drifting to other things and neglect the love of God as well. We can neglect it by neglecting to love people sometimes, neglecting to have mercy for other people or grace for other people. We can neglect certain things that are happening around us. We can even neglect mercy and compassion for our own selves at times because our heart posture is focused on something completely different. So I think even when we look at our culture codes, one of the culture codes stands out to me, and it's humility over being right. There is this posture, there is this manner within our church that we try to live out, and it's really the foundation comes from Christ, not ourselves. We can look right before everybody, but with our humility, it could look like something else, and that is not what the Lord wants for us. And sometimes we can take this performance, if we're not careful, of acting or looking right in a certain way by externally trying to look right before our friends, before our family, before our spouses, even before the church. But God is after something so much deeper than just performance. He's looking for something so much deeper than performance. Sometimes we have to understand doing what looks right before people can be done without surrender. Sometimes these things can get in the way and cause a fog in our eyes. So for us, even in the context of what we're reading, let us be mindful of our heart this morning. What is going on this morning here? How are we walking today? How are we thinking of things today? And if it's caused us to neglect things, neglect the love of God, neglect the people around us, or neglect mercy, or neglect the Lord himself, I believe a message like today is not to make us feel bad, but it's to call us back to that center place where he is, amen? To that center place that we found where Kevin was talking about last week with the merry-go-round, that center place with Christ, so that it is him who is beginning to do this work inside of us. So if we ever get into a place, we have to beware of the woe. We have to beware of the woe when we perform religions or performances to be seen. We have to be prepared for the woe when we fail to love like Christ has called us to. We have to be prepared for the woe if we can look right before people while our hearts drift away from the Lord. Something on the inside. And on a message like today, I'm going to be prayerful this morning that we are looking and examining our lives and our hearts right now, because there is great hope in this text, and I think we'll get there later, but I just want to just kind of break this down a little bit. So the second woe, he talks about misplaced motives, meaning you love the best seats, meaning you like recognition, you like honor, you like being seen, you like the spiritual applause, but you are not picking up the spiritual practices that come from the Lord. You're not picking these up. He's kind of letting them know you like to be seen, but there's something being left alone. And that is this thing that we can say is a relationship with the Lord in our context. It is something that we can say that is being disconnected from what the Lord would have for us, because maybe in the context of the day, we may be so focused on looking a certain way in front of everybody else that we neglect what the Lord is really wanting to do in our lives and around us. So today, my prayer is that you're not adding things to your experience with Christ. My prayer is that you're not adding these things to look a certain way. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit is working on the inside. And I do belong. We belong to a great church. So I'm going to leave it in some cases in the text that these guys didn't have it together, but we kind of do, right? Yes? No? Okay. But seriously, in everything that we walk through today, sometimes we don't understand that the practices that we put in place that have nothing to do with the Lord can make our lives harder than it needs to be. Why? Because that may not be the thing that the Lord has called us to live in at the moment. Some burdens we carry are things that we're walking with the condition of our heart is misplaced. These issues, these problems can overwhelm us. But as he talks to the Pharisees, he wants them to see something. He wants them to see something pretty deep in their hearts, in their minds, but I don't think they're going to get it just yet, obviously. So whenever we take a look at this text, I want us to really understand this. In our second thought, we have to be careful of a heart posture that neglects what matters most to God. We have to be mindful of that. We have to be careful. As we take a look at this text, and we're going to walk through another portion of the text, we have to really walk with clarity in the Lord. And what does that mean? We have to walk with the clarity that there is a workmanship of the Spirit that is living inside of you. That if you put too much on yourself, let's take a step back and allow Him to be God and allow Him to speak. Let's speak to Him and ask Him to work in us and through us. Amen? But if we look at verse 45, and I have to admit, this verse, I have been laughing about this part of the text all week long. And I'm just going to read it out. Can I read it out the way that I see it happening? All right, so it says, one of the lawyers answered him, saying, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Well, woe to you too." "Woe to you lawyers also, for you low people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourself do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers. Therefore, also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will require of this generation, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourself and hindered those who were entering.'" Wow. It is funny, because have you ever been in a situation where you see somebody getting yelled at? Maybe you see somebody getting reprimanded. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's somewhere. But you see something happening, and you see them going after this individual. And then all of a sudden, you start getting offended, or you might see somebody who gets offended, right? That's kind of what's happening with the lawyers here. They're looking at these guys getting lambasted by Jesus here. And basically, they're feeling the weight of what he is saying too. And they're like, wait a minute. If you are insulting them, if you are saying this to them, you insult us. And it's kind of like that place where you're like, I have to say something to make this right. And it's like, man, you could have just kept your mouth shut. When I look at that, I'm like, man, you shouldn't have done it. But Jesus had been, and he said, "Yeah, are you talking about us? Yes, I'm talking about you too." And Jesus goes in, and he lets them know that, hey, you lawyers, which are what we classify as scribes, people who interpret the law, teachers, they had one job, and that's what Jesus is saying. You had really one job. And you're not even doing it right, because you're doing the opposite. You're supposed to help people find God, and you're making life a lot difficult for the people who are trying to find God. And even in the things that you're writing down that they need to do, you're not even doing it yourself. And that is the highest place of what we call hypocrisy, right? And you know, at the end of the day, I look at a text like this, and I could say, I wish I could say I've been perfect in all of this, but I can say I'm convicted, because I have fallen into this too. I think if we've walked this faith, if we've walked it the best that we possibly can, I believe that at some moment we're going to fall into this place called hypocrisy. And I think the danger and the woe is not the fact that they have fallen into this hypocrisy. The woe is if you continue in this, it could lead to something very dangerous. If you don't identify the things that are happening on the inside of your heart, and if you don't identify the practices that you are putting out there that don't align with who he is, then we're falling into a dangerous place. And I have to confess, I read this text and I say, yeah, Lord, that's me. But you look at a text like this, and you have to start asking yourself, what do I do? He goes in, he says, you have burdened the people. And I wonder, in some capacity in my life, through my actions, through what I have said, through my heart posture, have I made it a little bit harder for people? Have I made it more taxing for people to walk in the name of the Lord? I think we have to do an examination of our own lives. When we take a look at this, are we seeing something that could be said of us? And if it can be said of us, let it be a woe, but let it stop at woe, right? Sometimes we can look at these things, and there's this thing called control, and I believe that this is something that I've heard in the past few messages, in the past 4 weeks, this word called control. And sometimes control can disguise itself as conviction. Has anybody ever seen that before?
Yes.
Has anybody ever seen that control be like, I can do it this a certain way, I've got to do it because you're trying to control the situation? Really what the Lord is saying, don't try to control it with your outward expression. Allow him to work on the inside so that we don't walk out looking like hypocrites like the lawyers. They're making life harder for them. Why? Because they're controlling the optics of how people should walk and the optics of themselves. So if we find ourselves in a position, may we say woe to that, but may it stop at that woe. So even as we talk about this one, I know that we live in the context of social media and famous people on social media. There are people who like instant fame and things of that nature. And some of us can take a look at this and say that's part of it, but there's something even deeper that we can talk about too. But he talks to them about loving honor. They like to be seen a certain way. They tell others how to walk. They prescribe, but they walk as hypocrites. And for us, I wonder if we take a look at our heart posture, because it is possible. I'm not saying that this is us. It is possible to love sermons, to love Patrick's preaching. Hallelujah. I was concerned after the day. I ain't gonna lie. It is possible, though. It is possible to love sermons and avoid surrender. It is possible to love doctrine. I love doctrine. And avoid obedience. We can sound spiritual at times. It is possible to sound spiritual. Has anybody ever tried to do that? While living a disconnected life. And if that is something that we walk in, woe to those areas. But at the end of the day, the Lord is after something deeper this morning. He is after something deeper this morning. But I think this woe leads into the third thought, and really it leads into this. We have to be careful of a heart posture that creates traps for others instead of pointing them to Jesus. We have to be careful of a heart posture that creates traps for others instead of pointing them to Jesus. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to prescribe things to people. It's very easy to do all of those things. But if the heart posture is not corrected in the Lord, we could hinder somebody's faith. See, harshness, expectation, you know, these things and control can be said of many people. But the manner of how we walk can share something about what's going on the inside, right? There are things that God has never placed on us that sometimes we place on our own selves and maybe place on others. And we have to be careful with that, because are we asking, is this coming from you, Holy Spirit, or is this coming from me? Am I wanting to control this thing so much? Or is this truly coming from you? And here's the thing. I'm just going to put this out there, because there's a temptation. When we hear a message like this, can I just share the temptation? The temptation is some of us may feel the urge to perform harder, to try harder, to fix what's going on in your heart yourself. There is that temptation that we can walk in and say, I understand, Patrick. I'm going to take care of this. And sometimes that impulse could lead to more things and more burdens and more hardships that we can carry on our own instead of allowing God to walk in the midst of what is happening, right? But here's the thing about heart posture. Sometimes we have to remember that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in it. And here's what I will say to you today. Jesus wants your heart this morning. I don't know if you are a born-again believer, as we sang just a moment ago. I don't know how long you've been walking in the faith, but we can never walk in the faith so long and forget that He still wants our heart. Every single day, every single morning, every single moment, He wants our heart. Why? Because it is Him who's doing a work. It is Him who's doing the transformation. It is Him who's loving us through the pain, through the issues that are walking into our lives. It is Him who wants to demonstrate His power and His glory in the areas that we want to take control in. It is Him. But today He wants your heart. He wants our surrender. He wants the Holy Spirit who leads us on the inside to do some powerful things on the inside, so that whenever we are going and we're tithing and we're doing mission trips or we're talking to people about our faith, when we're doing all the things that is coming from an expression of the power of the Spirit who's working inside of us and is coming outside, right? But like I said, we have to be prepared to look at our heart posture as we walk in these things. But some of you may be asking this question, I hear you, but what is the first step? What step do I need to take? What step do I need to take in order to go this direction so God would not say, woe to me? I look and I think of that question so much, and sometimes it sounds so lofty, what I'm about to say, but what I'm about to say is something that indicates the direction of your heart, the position of your heart, and understanding that there is a powerful person who lives and works inside of you, right? There's this thing that we have to remember that happened over 2,000 years ago. When we want to perform, there's an act of love that happened 2,000 years ago, right? And as it happened 2,000 years ago, He did something that none of us could ever do. And none of us can outperform in what He did over 2,000 years ago. He defeated death. He took on the cross. He took on sin. He won, right? He rose on the third day, right? And because of that, we get to have this expression called salvation, this rescuing from this world. I do not need to perform anything more. I just get to be real with You, God, and say, I need You every single day. I need You every single moment. And because He's so good and so loving and so gracious, He is willing and able. But what is the first step? What do we do? Well, there's this act called repentance. There is this act called repentance that we must acknowledge is there. There is this act called repentance saying that I see the direction I've been and I've seen the woe. I understand that there is something that could lead to destruction, but I want to turn and go the other way, but I'm going to need Your help, oh God. So I surrender everything to You. I need You. The interesting thing is the Pharisees were not able to see is that Jesus was king. He was doing all the things in front of their face. Some of the lawyers or the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they understood scriptures a lot but could not understand that He was fulfilling scriptures in their face because they wanted control so much. And I wonder of us how much control we want that doesn't allow God to move. But this morning, can we do something just a little different? Can we take a moment and acknowledge that there are things in our hearts, there are things in our perspective, there's things in our lives that may have been misplaced? And this is not to make anybody feel horrible about themselves, but it's to call you back into remembrance of His good, loving nature, His profound loving nature. to respond to a message like this today, we do need to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We do need to acknowledge, I need you every day. I surrender to you every day. In how I parent, in my marriage, my job, around people, I surrender the control. I surrender the external appearance. I surrender these things. And I ask, Lord, that you be the center. That's the next step. Do we receive that message? We have to remember there's no ritual. There's no post that you can post or read. There's no vote that you can cast that can make you free indeed. It is Christ, our King, that can make us free this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your love. I ask, Lord, for all of us who need you this morning, which is all of us in whatever aspect it is. Whether we've been a believer for a long period of time, there are still things, Lord, that maybe you remind us about that we need to surrender. Help us, oh God, with your Spirit to surrender. Help us, oh God, to put the right rhythms in our lives, like scripture reading or prayer if we're not doing it. Help us to be obedient and practice your word in the sense of allowing what's on the inside, your Holy Spirit allowing us to go outside and do the things that you're calling us into. Help us, Lord. Lord, we surrender. We surrender the nature of our flesh to you. We surrender sins to you. We see the woes in our lives. We see it as a warning of grief, understanding if we continue, Lord, it could lead to destruction. But at this moment, may we carry a heart of the repentance, a heart of belonging to you. And with that, would you shape and mold the areas that truly need you? Help us to not look like what we've read, but help us every day to look like you, to sound like you, to love like you, to operate like you. It's in your name we pray all these things. Amen.